The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, and while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding's ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went into the streets and gathered all of whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding robe?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise All right, who thinks they're worthy of an instrument? Good answer. I was actually looking for that answer. Good job. So far, so good. Well, guess what? You get an instrument. Is this one all right? That one makes noise. This one makes a little bit of noise. That one looks like it makes noise. Here's an instrument. You get an instrument. You get an instrument. That one makes noise. You get an instrument. You get a little instrument. It makes some noise. Here's an instrument. Makes some noise. Here, you guys can have that. And everyone else could have an instrument, too, if they were up here. We're going to have a party. Sound good? All right. We're going to make lots of noise for the next, oh, I don't know. Well, I'll say 30 seconds, but it's going to be about a minute because I know we won't cut off right at time. Let's party and let's sing Jesus Loves Me. Do you know Jesus Loves Me? Okay. You ready? Make some noise. Think we can get them to sing with us? You guys know Jesus Loves Me, right? All right. Let's all sing this together and make some noise. Ready, set, go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. There we go. Now, is that a party or what? Yeah? Yeah. Well, you noticed a little bit. It's like the gospel today was saying. You can put your instruments back. But it's like the gospel said, if you were listening to that. First, there was a bunch of people that weren't quite worthy of the party. And you guys didn't think you were worthy of the party. But then, the king decided to invite everybody to the party. And everybody could have instruments. Everybody could party. Everybody could come together. And that's where you guys come in. And they were invited to the party, too. They just didn't get the instruments. But they're all invited. And that's true for all of us with God, too. We're all invited to that amazing party in the promise of the kingdom of God. So, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming for all of us to invite us to that amazing party with you in the kingdom of God. In your name we pray. Dear Amen. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not going to lie to you. I was on internship about 3 years ago, and I was unfortunate enough to have this same text. Oh boy. Guess what I did the last time it came up, though? Well, I ran away from it about as fast as I could. I hid in the next corner called the second lesson that talked about prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good text. And sometimes we need to be reminded of prayer as well from the Philippians text, which says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. When you have experienced, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. What good advice. What good words to hear, especially in the world today that seems to need lots of prayer. And yet, we definitely need those too when we hear at the end of the gospel for today, Jesus talking about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, those parts of the gospels are, I wouldn't even say usually never my favorite. Because it makes me uncomfortable, puts me in a corner that I don't like to be in, confuses me, challenges my own faith at times. But not this time. This time, instead of avoiding it and talking about prayer the whole time, we're going to go right into it headlong, even though it can be uncomfortable and confusing to us. And I'm sure it is for you too at times. We're going to charge into it and embrace that uncomfortableness for a little while. First, the king of this parable. Why is he hard for us? Because the king does the unthinkable. First, he invites people into his home. Out of the goodness of his heart, he invites so many people. It's an invitation. It wasn't a command. It was an invitation. And yet these people turned away from the invitation. And he does the unthinkable to them just because they didn't come to the party. He kills those who rejected this offer, who killed his servants. He killed all those people who didn't attend the banquet. Not only does he do that, he burns down the cities too. He leaves no stone unturned. Well, one word for that would be, oh crap. That's not something I like to think about. A king, a god inviting me to a party, pulling a large group of people together, and then deciding, well, you're not coming, I'm going to kill you. Great. Being vengeful. For some, not because he killed those that he sent, but because they didn't want to attend the party. We don't know. We don't hear the middle story about the rest of the people in those towns. Remember, not everybody gets to speak for the whole family. What about those that thought it'd be fun to go to the party, but now are no longer able to? Vengeance. A vengeful God can be hard for us to grapple with. Why would God do that? Why would God allow this to happen? Does that question sound like something we've heard before? I'm sure we've heard that kind of question before. Why would God do this? Well, I don't think I'm going to give the answer. And I know you're not going to like it either, whatever I say here, but I don't know. But if you read throughout the Old Testament, we're confronted that this isn't the only time we're challenged with this notion of a vengeful God, is it? This isn't the first time God has been threatening or has done something. Think of the other stories that we have in the Bible, like Noah's Ark, killing all but really a handful of people. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about the firstborns of Egypt. What did they do? All those that were in the way of the promised land, like Jericho and other places that were just in the way of the promise and other times. So we really can't pretend that God has not been vengeful in the past. He's done it before, and honestly, that scares the crap out of me. It really does. And if you're honest, does that scare you? Anybody else scared? Oh boy. Which brings me to the question that we have asked at some point in our lives then, knowing that God can be vengeful. Am I okay? Am I good? Am I good? Am I going to make it? Am I in the line of sight of this vengeful God? Am I in? Am I out? There's no way that I could be one in the parable, the one that the king kills, could there? Well, all you have to do is ask some of the ninth graders that I've had for the last couple of weeks and our talk about the Ten Commandments, and they'll have the answer for you. We make a lot of mistakes. We sin an awful lot. We're in big trouble. We too sometimes make light of things in our lives, don't we? Choose to turn from God. Choose to do the best that we can and hope for the rest. Break all those commandments, you name it. So along those lines, we're very much in the crosshairs of this vengeful God. We deserve nothing other than death. And honestly, that scares me. It can keep me up at night sometimes, actually. I find myself worrying, am I okay? Am I really okay? But you know what? If that was the end of the story, if we ended with the king just saying, go out and kill all those people, we wouldn't be okay. That would be where it ended. So if that's where it's ended, who's feeling really good right about now? Anybody feeling great now? Feeling good about themselves, not worried at all, nothing, no sleepless nights? But that's not where Jesus ends that parable. That's not where he ends the talk about the kingdom of God. He continues to say that the king invited everybody in, not only a select group of people, but everybody. Not only the good ones that followed all the rules and did the best that they could, but also the bad ones, those that probably broke the rules often, made mistakes, were imperfect, wouldn't have been seen by the king in the first place, and would never have been seen in that select group. Now, how can this be that a good and bad are welcomed into this kingdom, this feast, this banquet? How can it be true for us in regards to the kingdom of God? Why, you know that answer. This is like the easiest answer you can give. It's the Sunday school answer of how we would eventually be invited to a party that at one point we were clearly not even remotely close worthy for. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for each and every one of us. And not only that, he did the unthinkable. He did the impossible. He was risen. He was risen from the dead. He came back. He came back for all of us, so we all could attend that party and all be seen in that wedding robes before the king, both good and bad. All are now chosen, and through his death and resurrection, we are now saints, worthy of that robe and the banquet. No longer are we seen as the one who turns away from God, but the one who is turned towards, puts those perfect robes on. And in another way, Jesus took off his own robe for us and is seen as the one without the robe for us. Okay, so again, knowing now that we're all invited, why do we still ask that simple question of why am I okay? Why do we still worry about a vengeful God? You've heard this phrase before, and if it's your first time, hear it again. Martin Luther says we're simultaneously a saint and a sinner. This is a both and. We are at all times both saint and sinner. We both deserve God's vengeance, and yet we receive God's grace. Both of those that rejected the king's invitation and accepted the king's invitation, even without asking for it. And in this parable today, it illustrates that tension in our lives. It's not always crystal clear to us, even when it is. That tension sometimes in our own faith. The tension of a vengeful God and a saving God. Wondering if we're okay. Knowing that when we have been saved, no questions asked. Wondering if there's anything we can do to be okay. Knowing Christ alone through his death and resurrection made us better than okay in the eyes of God. Which circles us back to that Philippians text for today, which says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we live in that tension of saint and sinner, sometimes we need to just pray. Pray to calm not only the worries about am I okay, but to know the fact that Christ is risen and has saved us all. And that exceeds anything we can ever understand. And yet it is, as Luther says, that is most certainly true. It's an open invitation for all of us and a promise for all of us here and everywhere. Thanks be to God for opening the kingdom for us, even when we are both saint and sinner. Amen.